Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 18th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm fantastic today, Jeff. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I think I finally have all my ducks in a row and I'm ready to get this day going. And speaking of having all my ducks in a row, Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm land-tastic.
That's fantastic. I'm glad because when you're land-tastic, that means you are rocking the bandwidth or something like that. Anyhow, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Harry's. I'm pretty stoked about that. And apparently, I just made a time warp back to the 1980s. Wow. Okay. But before I get into Harry's, Dave, you did something that I thought was pretty cool and pretty interesting, and it relates to this whole, I'll call it hubbub, surrounding Apple adding content blocker support to iOS 9. And what you did was you came up with a call to action.
I did. So, yeah, the content blocker discussion really very quickly morphs into the discussion of ad blockers, right? Because even if you would have to go out of your way to block content and not have it block ads, or at least most ads, and most people aren't going to go out of their way to do that. So yeah, I was very interested in, I get why people want this. At least I think I get why people want these content blockers. They're, you know, Apple sort of set the stage by saying people have been, advertisers have been collecting all kinds of data on people without people's knowledge, and have sort of been, I don't know that I'd say irresponsible with it, but perhaps a little overzealous with the amount of data. And some people don't like that, because they don't know what's being collected about them, which, folks, if you're on the internet, is everything you do. But I digress. And you know, other people don't like when, say, an ad follows them around, or that, you know, that sort of thing. They look at a product on Amazon and then they're looking at some other unrelated site, and boom, that product's there. And some people find that creepy. And I get it. It's fine. So I know that people are going to install these content blockers. There's a whole philosophical thing that's actually not as cut and dry as it's easy to make it seem, right? You know, it's easy to say, well, our price for viewing our content is that you have to agree to view the ads that we show you.
Actually, and you just have to agree to let us show them to you. You don't even have to agree to
view them.
To view them. Mostly pedantic.
But yeah, fair enough. Right. You have to agree to let us show you these ads. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to click. That is our price. I don't know what other sites call it, you know, but that's it. And so if you block those ads and yet still read the content that we have provided in exchange for you viewing those ads, you are stealing that content. That part is actually cut and dry, right? It's very clear. But, you know, it's one of these slippery slopes where people find it pretty easy to slip down it. Not dissimilar, but not exactly the same as fast-forwarding through commercials on your TiVo or your DVR, right? I would actually argue that you're watching the commercials even more closely. You're not hearing them, but you're watching them more closely when you do that, and studies have actually shown that. But it's similar, right? You're skipping the ad in the format that it should have been displayed to you. And so it's this slippery slope, right? And so I was curious. People now they've always had the ability to install these content blockers on their desktop. About 15% of the people that read our site, and this is pretty standard across the industry, 15% do, and that's fine. We could have a discussion about it, but I actually expect that number to go up now because of the interest that their existence in iOS 9 brings, right? Yeah. People are going to install them on iOS, realize, whoa, this actually does make the web faster for me, which on mobile is again, you know, part of what makes this not a black and white cut and dry discussion. Because on mobile, there are times when, hey, you know, I don't feel like anyone is respecting the fact that I'm on a, you know, slower device, bandwidth limited connection, perhaps
maybe a data cap.
data caps. Correct. Right. So there's reasons that people might do it there and then realize, whoa, this is way faster. It's like 5 seconds faster to load this page here than it is without the content blocker. Why don't I turn it on at home? You know, and I know that these content, I know I'm setting up what I did, but I feel like there has to be this foundation.
No, I'm glad you're setting this up.
Yeah, and there are ways in these ad blocker content blockers to whitelist certain sites. Again, that's probably the worst part of this slippery slope, because I think what most people are going to do is most people are actually not going to whitelist anything. It's going to be Ronco, set it and forget it, and you're done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be those that feel a you know, twang of guilt, and I feel like some of our loyal readers are those people. And to get over that twang of guilt, you whitelist your favorite sites. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate more than the fact that you do it, I appreciate the sentiment behind it. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yes.
But here's what I know is going to happen, because it's what would happen to me. For most of you, you are not going to actively manage that whitelist. You're going to whitelist your favorite sites on the first day you install it. That's going to help you overcome some of that initial guilt. And then after that, it's Ronco, set it and forget it, and you're off to the races, you know. And that's okay. I get it. I would do the same thing. It's just how we as humans work. Once we've sort of rationalized something, we just don't go back and re-rationalize. We don't have to. It's fine. So my question is, now that you have this ad blocker and it's installed on either your desktop or your iOS device, what will it take for us, and by us I mean both us here specifically at TMO, but also industry-wide, because I realize you're installing this blocker for every site that you visit. That's how they work. Mm-hmm. What will it take? What do we need to do? What changes need to happen in order for you to turn it off?
I think that's a really great question.
Yeah, I figured the conversation is happening. Let's actually have the conversation. And it's the comments that I've gotten on the article itself, you know, plus all the emails that I've gotten and tweets and Facebook comments and all, it's been fantastic. It's very enlightening. It's interesting what, you know, what has been said. And the comments are across the board, but if I kind of had to, you know, find the median, it's mostly people, the tracking is the thing that comes to mind, that's what people say. Mm-hmm. Some people say they just don't like seeing the ads. A lot of people have actually said, I don't mind some ads, but a lot of these flashing ads, you know, overly animated ads, sliding ads, ads that take over the page, mm-hmm. pop-ups, pop-unders, those types of things, that's what I have to block, right? And I get it. You know, the good, it's fine. It's very interesting to see all this happen. I wonder if, in fact, we got rid of – if we just went down the list and said, okay, all the trackers are gone, all of the sliding, you know, ads are gone, all of the ads that follow you around the web are gone. And for the record, we haven't had many of these things here at TMO ever, including – like especially the sliding ads, the takeover ads. We've never done anything like that. But, you know, fine. We'll go down the list. We either never have it and don't have it currently, or we had it and we got rid of it. I wondered if we went down that list, if someone would then uninstall their ad blocker. I don't think they will, but I appreciate the sentiment, because I understand what it was that led people to install it in the first place.
Sure. And a lot of the stuff that people are talking about that they don't want to see for advertising tactics, I totally get. Because when I go to a website and I click on the link for whatever it is I want to see, and the next thing that I get is a full screen layover that doesn't add, that I can't make go away, and it's a video with audio, and I can't stop it playing.
Right.
I just close the tab and I never go back.
Right. Yeah, and honestly, I think the best ad blocker would be one where you go in and you say, okay, here's all the things I don't want. And then when you encounter a site that has any of those things that you're going to block, it comes up and says, hey, this site you're trying to visit has one or more of these things that you've deemed completely
unacceptable.
Bad? Unacceptable. That's the word. I don't know why I couldn't come up with it, but that's the word I wanted. Thank you. You've deemed this unacceptable. And do you want to visit the site with those in place, or do you want to not visit the site at all? That would actually be the right way to implement this. Now, that's unrealistic. I get that.
But it's kind of cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. Like, okay, you know, here's this site. It has some content that you want, but what they want is this. And are you willing to quid pro quo or not? Honestly, I think
no one, very few people have bought into our argument on this, Dave. And to me, it's a completely logical.
Well, it's not an argument. We are not a public service. It is the truth.
I'm sorry. Very few people have bought into our position on this. When we have had this discussion, at least the people that talk to us, when we have had this discussion, people deny our right to set a price to the content that we post. So I can't really see that approach being embraced by either the providers of content blockers or the consumers.
Correct. No, it doesn't. And Ben Thompson was arguing similarly the same thing, not necessarily a content blocker that does this, but just, hey, if a site does something bad, don't visit it. The part of the problem is that people don't know what sites are doing what bad things. Even if you decide, I don't like it when people track me in this way. There's no way of knowing when you visit a website if that type of tracking is happening. And in a lot of cases, the publisher may not be aware. To say that they can't find out is absolutely untrue. But the publisher may not be aware that, in fact, that type of tracking is happening because it may be coming in through a third party. Now, should publishers do a better job vetting third parties and being aware? Yes. But it may be that your favorite publisher has simply taken a, turnkey solution like Google AdSense, and now you hate them for that. And, and I get it. You have to remember TMO and Backbeat Media existed before AdSense ever came into the market. And what's interesting is every single thing that people are asking for effectively rewinds us back to the day before AdSense launched.
That's
a really good point, man.
Okay. This is important, right? And here's the other thing that I will toot our own horn about. Since the day AdSense launched, we at Backbeat Media have been arguing that this is not the way to do this, and this doesn't actually add value. Google does a stellar job of convincing people that the one thing that's valuable to them is the one thing Google charges them for, and that is clicks. Nothing could be further from the truth. It doesn't matter how many reports, articles, white papers that we show to people that say clicks are not important. Google shows them a report that says you got X number of clicks, pay us this. And people are like, yes, sweet, because it's advertising. And for the first time in ever, we have the ability to track a direct correlation between an ad appearing and something happening.
It's the definition of truthiness.
It feels right.
Like it makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense. It's like, of course I'm clicking. That's it.
That's it. Right. And Andrew Green, who has been the marketing manager at many different companies, he was the marketing manager at DLO, when he said this to me, because I was making this argument. He's like, dude, you don't have to argue this to me, which was refreshing at the time because this was like, 8 years ago and everybody was obsessed with clicks. And he's like, look, I get it. No one counts the success of a highway billboard by the number of cars that have crashed into it. I'm like, yep, I'm going to steal that, dude, whether you let me or not, he was totally right, it highlights this, but it doesn't matter. Like you said, it feels right. And it's this, there's what that saying that I know that 50% of my advertising works. I just don't know which 50%. That sort of encompasses the frustration that anyone who has ever advertised in their life feels. Like I know I need to tell people about my product. I need, how can I learn more? Where's the insight? And Google gave that to people and has made, zillions on this. And good for them, but not really good for the rest of us. not the people that have been paying them, not the people like publishers and like us. And we don't get derive most of our revenue from Google AdSense, but we do get some. Although we had an interesting discussion at Backbeat today, which I'll talk about here, where we probably will turn that off at TMO at least for a quarter and see if we can move in a different direction, because they don't really bring us a lot of revenue right now.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It's I don't think they've even done good for the publishers. Because now, even though publishers earned money from them and you know, built houses and did all these great things with all this money they got from AdSense, but you know, I was talking to some publishers yesterday sort of as a reaction to this piece, because they know me not just as Dave from TMO, but also Dave from Backbeat. And a lot of them were like, you know, if people – and I don't think this content blocker thing is going to be necessarily felt as hard in the web at large – as it will be in our community, where people are Apple focused and on the cutting edge and all of that stuff. But it will impact a lot of, you know, like us and other websites. And I think it's great. I'm glad for it, because it gives us the opportunity to A, rewind, and B, for us here both at TMO and Backbeat to say, hey, by the way, you know, for the most part, we've been giving everyone what they currently say they want. So, you know, we've got some experience with this, and maybe that's a good thing for all of us. Yeah. But I've talked to some publishers. So I've tooted my horn, our horn. But I've talked to some publishers, and they're like, you know, I've got to change my entire business model. There's websites out there whose writers are paid directly from Google based on the ad views on that page. Like the writers don't even get paid by the site; they get paid by Google, and it's a fantastically enviable model when you sit in our shoes and say, dang it, you know, we've got to come up with a payment model for people. We have to make them employees. We have to cut checks. All of that kind of headachey stuff. I mean, it's fine, but it's stuff you have to do. This other website doesn't have to do any of it, because they just put a Google. They have their writers put a Google ad in their articles, and the writer gets paid directly from Google. And it's brilliant. It's elegant, but kind of puts them in a bad spot today, because. Yes. You know, and they get it. They're like, well, we really like the turnkey solution. In fact, I've had several people say, well, you know, the nice part about Google is I just plug it in, and then, you know, I don't have to hire an ad salesperson. And I'm like, well, you know, if you come with Backbeat, you don't have to hire. Well, but then I give up a cut of my revenue to you. It's like, it's like, yes, that's correct. Yes, because
but,
now
but you're getting revenue.
Now you realize why, because there's hard work to be done. And you're right. You can do it internally. Well,
and they're giving up a cut to Google.
That's correct. They just don't see it that way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Google has done a good job of sort of obscuring all of this from people. It's for a long time, Google didn't even talk about what their cut was, which was very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you had no idea what the advertiser paid for the ad that appeared on your page. You only knew what you got paid for it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And that, the question is, why do you think people are getting so wound up about content blockers now, when this is not a new concept? This is something we've had on desktop and laptop computers for a long time.
Well, that's easy. It's Apple's making it mainstream. Apple's bringing it to the fore.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's been simmering, right? I don't think it was like out of people's minds but Apple very astutely articulated the problem. Like, you know, these people are tracking you. And Apple really didn't go after ads directly, nor should they have. If they did, if they said, you want to block ads, people would have been like, eh. You know, some of us, yeah, but whatever. But Apple went after the core of it. You know, it fits with Apple's message. Their whole privacy. You know, they're taking some licks from the government, right? They might even get fined for the way iMessage works. So, and that's fine. I think Apple's happy to pay that fine and move on.
Sure, you know,
they'll fight it because they don't believe it should be a fine, and I don't believe it either. But they're happy to pay the legal fees. So it fits within Apple's, you know, whole sort of security picture to say, we're also going to help you do this. And I get it. It's fine. I agree with it. I don't think, you know, if I'm on a website looking at cast iron skillets, right? Let's say I'm at Amazon looking at cast iron skillets. And then I come to TMO and I come to read an article about, you know, iOS 9. I'm going to see that Amazon cast iron skillet if, in fact, we at TMO have placed the, you know, either Amazon or via Google, the, you know, the whole thing in there. But I don't want to see that ad then, even though that cast iron skillet's something I'm interested in. I'd rather see it when I'm on a site for cooking. And that's what we've always believed, too, is that the ad should be related to the content, not to the user themselves. And that's what we've always sold. But we have used infill, you know, remnant providers that do the other thing, and I get it. I get why you don't want those. We're going to get rid of them. We'll see how that's going to go for everybody.
We'll see how that goes. Now, yeah. Listeners, let us know. What is it that bothers you about web advertising? And what do you want to see change? I'll make sure we have a link to Dave's article where he's asking about this so that you can add your comments. And if you have other comments that you want to share, then feel free to hop on Twitter, TMO Daily, and let us know there. You can also send emails to observations@macobserver.com, and I'll make sure those get to Dave as well. And I think this is a really great discussion, and I'm really interested in seeing exactly how the advertising market changes to accommodate where we're going now. And speaking of advertising, we do have an advertiser this week, and that advertiser is Harry's. And after today's discussion, I'm betting you're wondering, how does a razor relate to the tech market and our listeners? And that's because we grow hair. There you go. Do you like how I tied that together? And so we need to shave. And if we're going to shave, we might as well use a product that isn't going to cost an arm and a leg and is going to be really good at the same time. And that's exactly what Harry gives us.
I'm gonna add one more thing to that in the tie-in here, because I had this question when Harry's came on board for us at Mac Geek Gab initially. And it's that they've made it so that we can go online and place this order and we don't have to do it by going to a traditional brick and mortar. They've perfected the experience. You're going to tell us about that, Jeff.
I am. As a matter of fact, I was just getting to that. So what you do is you just go to their website. You pick out the starter kit you want. I went with the Truman kit. Dave, you chose a different one, didn't you?
Yeah, I have the Winston, I believe is what it's called. It's got the steel handle, which I like.
And
I call it steel. It's not steel. I believe it's aluminum, but
it's a metal handle.
Yes.
And the Truman kit comes with a nicely weighted plastic handle, and I'm totally fine with the one that I have. I think it's great. And what you do is you just go and pick out the kit you want. They mail it to you. It's just so easy to do. If you want to make sure that you have the supplies that you need on a regular schedule, then you just use their website to set that up. So you get replacement blades, replacement shaving cream or gel, whenever you set up that routine to make it happen. Or if you don't need to shave regularly and just want to get new blades whenever, no problem. Just go back to the site and order what you want. The pricing on this stuff is awesome. So the Truman kit it is $15. It gives you your handle. It gives you three replacement cartridges and a little carrying cover for those cartridges, plus your shaving cream or gel. And the quality of the blades is top notch. $15 for all that. And replacement cartridges are just so cheap too. It's crazy. Anyhow, what you can do is go to their website, harrys.com. That's harrys.com. Use a discount code TDO. You're going to get $5 off your first order. So if you go with the kit that I have, that means that you're spending only $10 to get a really good razor system. Totally love it. So go do it. Pick yourself up a kit. You're going to love it. It's trust me, if I'm loving it, you're going to love it too. I'm pretty picky about this. So thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor. Hit their website, harrys.com, and use that discount code TDO. Thank you for being our sponsor a week. And we are so out of time. So we're just going to have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to have you. Dave, thank you for being here too.
My pleasure.
Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor all week. And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always awesome to have you here and get your feedback. We'll see everyone again on Monday.